both not very well. We spent the most part of our week in bed. But I'm grateful to our Lord and Savior that I can be here this morning to open up the Word with you and to see what God is going to tell us this morning. This morning I want to stand still with a very interesting and a very important subject for this time. The title of the sermon is called Run the Race, or you could better say Run the Race of Endurance. If we look in the past week and what has happened over the past couple of months, we see a big fair share of problems all around this world. Just the other week, the other day, we heard on the news about the large oil spill before the coast in the Gulf of Mexico, before the coast of Louisiana, one of the biggest oil spills in the recent history of America, the biggest environmental disaster that's ever going to happen, and we're seeing it right now. We see about problems in the country of Greece. Seems that the country is not going to pay its debts anymore, and the whole country that's going bankrupt, and not only Greece, but Spain, Portugal, Ireland, and even Italy. The world is in a big turmoil, and you could say by yourself, well, should we endure all these things? If you look to the world and how they go around with dealing problems, they often give up. And I will extend on that subject some later on. How long should we endure? And we all know the scripture from Matthew 24. Let's go there. Let's read Matthew 24, verse 14, where Jesus told his disciples of the Mount of Olives, what's going to happen in the last days? And he lists a whole thing of rumors of wars, of pestilence, of earthquakes, and of a whole long list. And then he says in verse 14 of Matthew 24, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Meaning, until that task has finally been completed, we will see a whole lot of troubles, problems, that we, as Christians, seem to have to endure. And to be honest, nobody really wants to endure or go to problems or to difficulty or to strife. In Matthew 24, verse 17, you can read that the end time will be as the time of Noah. That people were going to marriage, into marriage, having feasts, having their parties, and then suddenly the flood came. At that time, the people were really interested in the problems they had at that moment because they were happy with their lives. But we as Christians, just like Noah, we see the problems of our day and age. And then you always come to the question, Lord, how long? When I was lying down in bed last week, being ill, I was thinking by myself, Lord, I'm going to preach, have to preach on Sabbath morning. How long am I going to be sick? Do I have, Lord, the patience to wait for what you are going to do for me? Have I got the patience to wait on the Lord? And the same question can say this day and age if we see all the problems and struggle and strife all around us. Are we able to stand tall when things are not going how we suppose it should be? When we see all the things go around us in this world, and we see that people got mocked, that just as in the days of Noah. Because you know that Noah had to build the ark, that's assignment of the Lord, and to prepare the people for the coming flood. And when he is proclaiming his message, come into the ark, because in the ark you will be safe. The people looked at Noah and he said, well, Noah, you're building a boat on dry land. We don't see any rain. What are you telling us? We in this day and age, we as Adventists, we have a message for this day and age. And We see all the problems going around us, and we see the people, look at the problems all around you. Look at the difficulties in the homes, in the financial institutions, in the politics. Look around. This world is going to an end. God has prepared an ark. Do you want to go with me? And the people are looking at you and you say, well, you go to church on Sabbath? On Sabbath of all these days? Well, your dear brother, dear sister, you're bringing me this message, but I'm not being moved by your message. And they mock you for the faith that you have, just as they did with Noah. How do we react if things like that happen in our Christian experience? Can we endure with patience, with perseverance, that what God has promised us from the beginning? If we go to Revelation 13, and we all know those chapters in Revelation 13 about what is going to happen in the last days, and especially how the beast and that image of the beast will come up and will lure all the people of this world into worshipping it instead of worshipping the Lord and Savior of this world. And when you read carefully through Revelation 13, then a very conscious person will say, hey, do I have to endure this? In Luke, and we don't have to go there to read, but in Luke it's 21, we can read about the things that will happen in the end, and that it says that the hearts of men will be fading of the things that will be happening all around them. And if you read Revelation 13, and you read through what that image of the beast is going to do with the people that are not willing to receive the mark, and you read the text, and then you think by yourself, Lord, do I have to go to that time? A lot of people these days and age don't read the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. They don't read it not because they don't believe it anymore, because they say, well, I believe the Bible. But when they read the passages of like Revelation 13, like Revelation 16, 17, 18, people think by themselves, do I have to go through that time? How can a loving God who created this world, who created me, how can he bring me through that difficult time? And do I have to stand tall because of that? If you go to read in Revelation 13, starting from verse 15. And there it says, there John the Revelator has written, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that image of the beast should be both speak, and cause that many shall would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. We know what's going to happen in prophecy. We read the scriptures for ourselves. And you read a statement of that what John the Revelator saw in his visions, and then you start to like shiver. If I don't do what the person says to me I should do, I will be harmed, put in prison, or even worse. Should I go to that time? Lord, why? Being ill has his positive sides, because being on bed the whole week, I had more time to look into my Bible and to study certain subjects. And I also watched a movie about the Second World War, about a Polish woman who was working as a social worker in a Jewish camp, where a Jewish ghetto where all the Jewish people lived in Poland, near Warsaw. And she saw, and she knew that a lot of these Jews were being brought to the concentration camps of Auschwitz and Treblinka. And this woman said, I'm going to save the children. And I'm going to put the children, take them out of the Jewish ghettos and put them at Polish families give those Jewish children Polish names so that they can save, and when the war is over, the children could return to their families. And you see in that movie how this lady, with fear of her own life and that of those mothers and those people who were into the program, how she saved children. At one point in the movie, in the story, which actually happened for real, the Germans caught her and tortured her to see where all those children went to and to give up their secrets. Well, she didn't give in. She stand tall, she endured the pain that was afflicted on her, stand tall and was saying, I'm not going to give the name of those people who are harboring those children. And then the Gestapo, the German secret police, the Nazi secret police, found out which women were into the plan and captured three of them and brought them to be killed. During the trip to the firing squad, the women who were arrested said to that lovely, sweet Polish lady, we know that we are going to be killed, but we endured and we know that our children are going to be safe. And they didn't give up. And I'm looking at that movie and I'm thinking about the sermon for this Sabbath morning. I'm like, let's skip from the Second World War to the end of time. Lord, am I able to persevere and to stand tall for my faith in you? Lord, as we as the Adventist Church are able to stand tall and endure whatever we have to endure, as we read on in Revelation 13, verse 16. And he caused the image of the beast that both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, shall receive a mark for their right on the right hand or in the foreheads, meaning about Sabbath worship. And then, verse 17, that no man may buy or sell that he might have the mark, or nor name of the name of the beast, nor the number of his name. Saying, if you don't go with the wrong side, then you won't be able to buy, won't be able to get your goods, won't be able to get your groceries, won't be able to get your medical insurance, your medical health, whatever. And if you read that in conjunction with the movie I just saw, I was laying in my bed and Lord said, I'm reading your word and I have to endure. How should I stand? Can I stand? Can I run the race which Paul is telling us we should run in Hebrews 12? And to be honest, if we look at it very consciously, are we afraid of what is before us, or are we leaning, as the song said of the campfire, leaning on the Lord's side? Are we afraid in this seeming picture that Revelation is telling us we should be placed upon? Are we able to still share our message of hope, peace, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we willing to defend the five S's? Those five building blocks of our Adventist Christian faith. Are we able to endure the things of this world, to share the message of the state of the dead, of the second coming, of the sanctuary truth, of the Sabbath, and of the spirit of prophecy? Because in the last days, our great adversary will do everything possible to permit those essential truths for these days to be proclaimed. Because people will be so scared about things that are happening in this world that they will say, okay, I'm going to stay in my house on Sabbath morning and I'm going to study in my home about the Sabbath truth and about the sanctuary, but I won't go to church, because if I go to church, then people will see me and then they will say, oh, He hasn't got the mark of the beast. Then you, and then I will be able to buy and sell because people are going to put me for courts and lawmakers and telling me what I should and shouldn't do. And you see, in a lot of places, a lot of Christians, a lot of Adventists, all around the world, becoming shy about sharing the hope that they once so vividly hold in their lives. Because they are afraid of what could happen if they won't share this essential truth of this day and age. How does the world solve their problems? Before the Second World War, there was the Great Depression, a time similar in economic nature as now. Now we have an economic crisis. In the 1930s, they also had a big economic crisis. The New York stock market, the plunge, the dealings, all the stocks they had, they were almost null and void. And what happened? The people, they look at their stocks, they look at their possessions, their wealth, and they say, they'll crumble away, and they were thinking by themselves, I cannot buy, I cannot live, I cannot sustain myself. The people got all panicked because they have put their trust in money, trust have bought the trust in liquidity, and it was taken away, and the only thing that people could do was jump out of the window. A lot of those stockbrokers that worked on Wall Street lost their lives because the things they put their hope and trust in, stocks, money, bonds, were wiped away from the floor like dust. And now we're also in a similar time. People look at their bank account and they look at the numbers of the bank account and they see them dwindling down in a very rapidly manner. And it's not only for people in the world, also we as Advent Christians have to deal with the economic problems and woes of this world. Also we have to struggle to get that little bit of means that we have to provide for our families, for our children, for our church. And then we think to ourselves, how can I sustain myself in those difficult times? Should I just give up and go over to the other side so that I could be able to at least buy things? Or Lord, should I endure? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with such a cloud of witnesses, for us lay aside every weight of and sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience, with endurance, with perseverance, the race that is set before us. We know about the chapters before, chapter 12 in Hebrews, about those clouds of witnesses, those witnesses of faith, those people that have endured and looked forward for the prize, didn't really got it, but died in the promise that they will receive it. They endured. Well, if we run a race, then we know that we have a clear goal. People who run the marathon have a clear goal. I have to finish after walking 42 kilometers the race. And I'm going to train, and when I'm over the mark, I've run the race, or at least I've walked the marathon. And the same with us. We run the Christian race. And brothers and sisters, I'm for sure that you all are doing your utmost and that you are preparing yourself for the race of faith. Doing your daily Bible study, praying to our Lord and Savior, being active here in church for Sabbath school and for the divine service and afterwards for the communion lunch and for the Bible study, We're doing our utmost to finish the race. But running the race is something totally different. Because run a race where there is no difficulty during the race is an easy race. When you do a marathon and the sun is the right temperature, has to be around 70 or 18 degrees, not too much, has to be partly cloudy, and that's the best condition the runners need to run the marathon. But at the moment, if it starts to get too warm, people are going to get dehydrated very fast. And then the race as a marathon can be very dreadful and very difficult to fulfill. So what do we as a people want for our races we run in our lives, and also, it seems, for our spiritual race? That is to have a very clear instruction, and not a clear instruction saying, you just run and you run the race. No, from A to Z, detailing every specific point, how we should move our feet, how we should act and react, how we could do, and that way finish our race. And what we want, of course, just at the marathon, very easy conditions, so that we can calculate very precisely what will happen and what could happen, and so that we can actually say, have a laid-back, relaxed ride to heaven. When you think about the story of Peter on that boat, on the Sea of Galilee, and you know when the wind came and the boat rocked and all the disciples all get frustrated, oh, it's going to happen, we're going to sink. And then they saw Jesus walking to them, and Jesus said, well, if you come to me, Peter said, I will come. And Peter jumps out of the boat and he's looking at Jesus and walks over the water. Peter wasn't looking forward at the conditions, the rough seas, but was totally fixed on Jesus, and he was able to walk. But as soon, and you know the story, as soon as he walked and looked at the waves going frantically beside him, he was saying, well, this isn't the best conditions to walk on water. He was experiencing a miracle, but he wasn't really attentful of it. Seeing the waves, seeing the rain, feeling the winds, and he's saying, well, this is the right condition. And the clear instruction that Jesus gave, in this condition, this is not going to work now. What happened? We all know the story. He sank. It seems, looking at the story of Peter, that we can constantly know in what time we are facing right now. We all know there's a time at the end. But still, there could be something in our lives that we say, well, if I balance out the fact, just like Peter did, well, this is a very difficult time, but it's too difficult, so I'm not looking at Jesus very often. I'm going to look at my bank account. I see my bank account dwindling. Maybe I should give up. And it's so sad to see that a lot of people these days, and a lot of Christians, especially in this day and age, look at the waves of the world and lose their faith. I heard a sermon last week about people losing their faith because they looked at the what they could get out of it instead of the who could give him to them. People are more interested in what they could get out of something than about Jesus Christ, the sustainer and author and finisher of our faith. We have a goal. Meeting Jesus, being with him forever. We know that our eyes are fixed. Each and every day we wake up, that our longing is to be in that city of gold, that new Jerusalem. And we have a clear message we should give to the world, and the messages of Revelation 14, We have the gospel commission. We know precisely what to say, what to bring, what to do. And even in that situation, people are saying, well, I have my doubts. If we look at the tactics about how to run the race so efficiently and so well-mannedly, then Jesus gave very good instruction to the disciples, to the apostles, in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew, the end of Matthew chapter 9, we can read that Jesus went to all the cities and to go to the synagogues and to heal the people. And then he saw that there was so much work to do. So he said, well, there is so many, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of harvest that he would set laborers into his field. And then he went to his disciples and say, well, you are my laborers. I'm sending you forth. Go two by two. And go to all the places and to the houses and heal and teach and preach of the kingdom of the Lord is coming at hand. Jesus gave them a clear goal. Clear instructions. And what tactic the Lord gave to those apostles, how they should endure in those difficult circumstances, because not everybody was sure about how we should people react if we look at their houses and say, the Messiah has came, come and listen to him. The kingdom of the Lord is at hand. Open up your life. The tactic Jesus gave the apostles was this, in Matthew 10 verse 16. There it says, behold, I sent you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. And then thinking about the time we're living in, right now, how should I run my race? How should we run the race? How should we persevere? And then when you hear this piece of saying of Jesus, we should be much wiser about how we should go about our dealings and our businesses, our daily lives. If we know that a very difficult time is coming, then we should prepare. Because that meaning is like saying, we are in the midst of wolves, we are in the midst of problems, of strifes, of difficulties. Use your brain power. Use the scripture. Use the spirit of prophecy and be wise. That young lady during the Second World War was wise. In what sense? She then went openly on the street and saying, look at me, I'm going to free Jewish children under your noses and bring them to a camp in the forest and there they will be safe. No, she went into the houses, talked with the people, looked at what side of the table they were the people are leaning on the Nazi side, or they are willing to save the Jewish children, and by talking with them, by using her wits, children would be saved. We, in those difficult times we are facing right now, instead of taking the money from our bank accounts and throwing it around like it's paper and having parties and doing our own thing, we could use the money right now to support workers far away and close by in preparing and sharing the gospel message of peace of this day and age. Because soon there will be a time and our money will be worthless anyway. So why not use it for the Lord's advantage? And if we use the right methods, if we use the right words that Jesus gave us, not only the messenger will be sanctified, also the person who received the words will be blessed by it. And there were so many who ran the race before us. And we think about Noah, we just talked about him. Clear instruction to build an ark, has to face adversity of people who mocked him. Abraham, clear instruction to move from the land of Ur to Canaan. And still he had to face difficulties, in a sense, how will I get a large people? I don't have any children, I'm very old. Having a doubtful wife. And still fixing his eyes on the goal that God gave him. Looking at Moses' clear instruction, leave the country of Egypt with the people of the Lord. And the other side, having to deal with his upbringing, which he had in Egypt, having to deal with the fact that he wasn't a good speaker, having to deal that to stand up against Pharaoh and to say, let my people go. Did they give up? Think about the people in Rome. Rome at the time when they had the big plays in the large Colosseums where they put Christians before the lions and said to the Christians, you want to live? You fight against those lions, and if you beat those lions, you will live and you will be set free. And all the time that people said, I'm a Christian, they will be put up in those Colosseums for play and for amusements. And then you would say, if I'm being rounded up to be put in a theater so that people can laugh at me and fight and see me fight against lions, well, I'm not going to keep holding fast to that faith. I'm going to do something else and run away and go with those Roman gods they had in those times. But no, what happened is the day and age, instead of those Christians saying, I'm going to give up my faith, I'm going to give up the race, I'm going to endure. I'm even going to fight lions. And if the Lord saves me, it's good. And if the Lord don't save me, it's good as well. Or think about all those Waldensians in those mountains in France, living a simple life and then being followed after, being persecuted for their faith and their trust in God. And they could say to themselves, you know, we're going to give up what we held dear to. We're going to give up what we trust in. We're just going to sit in the forest and worship pagan gods and then we won't be persecuted. But did they? No, they didn't. Or think about our Adventist pioneers in the years before 1844. When William Miller went around and went preaching from church to church as a Baptist preacher and was telling the people about what he saw in Daniel 8 verse 14, that the sanctuary will be cleansed and that Jesus was about to return, and that everyone said, wow, that's an interesting message. But not everybody was interested in that message. People will be left at. People will be followed and looked after, and you believe those three angels' messages? Did William Miller give up? Luckily not, because otherwise we wouldn't be here with that message we are now proclaiming to the whole world. Are we able to endure? Running a race, brothers and sisters, is easy. But to endure the race when the circumstances are not that what we are hoping for, that's the difficult part. Can we finish the race and are we able to stand tall? Can we endure amid conflict and strife? It is about and the way how we deal with our problems when we fall. when we feel in a difficult circumstance, just like the economic situation of this day and age, when the newspapers had said last week that people who have a mortgage here in Holland and that they have a normal income, that they cannot borrow any more money for buying a new car or buying new appliances in the house. Can we endure when people laugh at us when we sit here in a small building in Voorburg worshipping? Can we endure when we make a mistake in our own lives? Because we're humans. We're sinners. We do make mistakes. And the fact how we run the race very efficiently is how we deal with the moments when we trip and fall. I was a radio presenter in Rotterdam for a number of years, presenting a gospel radio program, so I have I love to listen to gospel music. And there was one song, and maybe you know the artist, he's called Donnie McClurkin, and he had one song which text very spoke to my heart. The song is called "We Fall Down." And then the refrain said, "But we get up. We fall down, but we get up, because a sinner is a saint who fell down, but get back up. Got back up again." When we fall, when we trip, when we make a mistake, when we are snared and captured by what Satan brings on our ways, how do we deal with those circumstances? Do we fall down, we make a mistake, and we lay on the ground and say, "Oh Lord, I make a mistake, I can't get back up again. Leave me there on the ground. Leave me, and I will rest here in my place." Or will we say, "Lord, I cannot go on this road without you. Please help me stand. Help me to get up and to resume the race that you have put in place for me." What is our faith life, our personal faith life at this moment? Are we Christians who fall down and are getting back up on our own strength? Or are we Christians who fall down and feel the leading and know the leading of the Lord and say, "I cannot get up by myself. I need you, Jesus, in my life"? Do we look as Jesus to finish the race that is setting before us? Revelation 14:12 says so vividly, we need to keep the commandments and to have the faith of Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on Him. As said in Hebrews 12, verse 1 again, we saw those clouds of compasses and witnesses before us. We saw those people in the Bible past, but also in the recent history, that have endured. And now, Hebrews 12, verse 2, we're looking unto Jesus, because what? He is our author. He is the finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If Revelation 14:12 says us to keep the commandments and have the faith of Jesus, and we read Hebrews 12:2 and see what kind of faith Jesus had, that He even endured the cross so that we can stand tall, even at moments when we trip and fall, even in moments when the economic situation, when our job prospects, when problems in the community seems to go up to a very difficult, pivotal point. Because Luke 21, verse 31 says, so likewise ye, when you see all those things, all the problems in the world, all around you, what should we do? Look above, because the kingdom of God is at hand. So when endurance becomes a problem for us, then the Bible gives an answer. Be happy and joyful because the end is at hand. And I know also from personal experience that it's not always easy to stand tall. But looking at Jesus makes things a lot easier, for sure. The Romans, those Christians there, they endured because they looked not at the lions, but at Jesus. The Waldensians, they endured because they didn't look at those horsemen and those knights that were persecuting them. But they look at the hills where they know where the help came from, and the help came from Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Our Adventist pioneers, they didn't give up and said, well, we shouldn't bring those three angels' messages to this world. No, they looked because they know that Christ was cleansing the sanctuary and that a big change was at hand. And we, dear brothers and sisters, we don't have to jump out of the windows when we see trouble and strife come our way. We don't have to be afraid when we look at the news and we hear of countries going bankrupt like Iceland and Greece and maybe Spain and Portugal also. We don't have to be afraid when we hear stories about oil spills as large as twice the big as Holland threatening the coast of America. No, if we consider those who went before us and how they endured. If we know that we can only endure by looking at the righteousness of Christ, then we don't have nothing to fear and nothing to give up on. So the challenge, dear brothers and sisters, this morning is not only to run a race, not only to look at the end, but also know that Jesus is also with us during that race. That at times when we hear that the conditions are not according to our expectations, our wishes, our goals, that we still can say, Jesus went before me and he endured. So I can endure also by the grace of our Lord and Savior. When I looked at a movie about that woman from Poland and how she endured the affliction put on her, I told my wife, the end time is going to be very difficult. And to be honest, I've never really prayed after watching a movie, but this movie was so captivating that translating to the end times that you're saying, Lord, we have to endure a lot. And it's not saying that everybody will be put in a prison or that everybody will be tortured or that everybody would have to face very difficult times. But we know that we have to endure. And reading again Hebrews 12 made me very conscious about the fact that now is the time to seek our Lord and Savior. Now is the time to read our Bibles more earnestly. I had a habit in the morning when I was going to work and as to read the newspaper because I wanted to know what was going around in the world. And I was spending more time reading the newspaper than reading my own Bible. How come? Because I was captivated, just like Peter was, about those seas that was going all around me, instead of looking at Jesus Christ. I've seen a lot of Adventists lose their faith because they looked at the troubles all around them than looking at Jesus. In the end time, before the time, especially before the close of probation, don't get fooled about the problems in politics, problems in the environment, problems in economics, and lose your faith. Look at Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. If we stumble, He will help us to get back up again and march to Zion. Amen.